Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. We're at facebook.com/radiocafemc and on Twitter at radiocafemc. I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Benny Benedetti. He is an award-winning film producer, longtime educator at Cal Arts and Yale, a longtime director of Shakespeare, and we are here to talk about Santa Fe Shake Scenes, which is happening every Sunday, starting this Sunday at 4 o'clock at the Forum at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. Very glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. Now, Shake Scenes is something, did you invent this? Is this something that people do?
As far as I know, it is an original invention of mine. It is an old form called Reader's Theater, which was a form that was very popular in the 19th century and early 20th century for delivering dramatic literature with a focus on the language itself. But the idea of using the form as a way of presenting Shakespeare's ideas, I think, is an original idea of mine. After 50 years of teaching, directing, and acting Shakespeare, I started to feel like I knew the guy. And I thought it would be interesting to have a series of programs in which we would explore Shakespeare's ideas about various important topics by collecting scenes from a number of plays and arranging them around those topics in a way that developed Shakespeare's ideas and had some kind of a point that each program makes about Shakespeare's beliefs, about the way in which his own life affected his writing, and the way in which his dramatic technique evolved. The first program, for instance, is about the evolution of his fools and clowns, which were taken from a very old tradition, but he used it in an entirely new way. And the longer he wrote, the more he began to explore the capacity of the clown to express even sometimes very serious themes. There's a way of telling the truth through the lips of a clown that is very special. So between something like the early Dromios in Comedy of Errors, which we think was his first play, who are clowns in the English tradition. And then you end up finally with Lear's Fool and with the clown who delivers the snake to Cleopatra to end her life. And the Gravedigger in Hamlet, you get very, very serious uses of black humor and of a comedic perspective on very serious subjects. So this first program traces the development of the figure of the fool or clown throughout Shakespeare's work and talks also about the actors in his company who played those clowns because they contributed a great deal to the way in which the clown was used by Shakespeare. He worked in a very collaborative way with his actors and people like Will Kemp and Robert Armin, who created Falstaff and Lear's Fool, respectively, really helped him to expand the palette of the fool by their particular genius. So we give some insight into the theatrical life as well as the personal life of Shakespeare as it influences his work on these various subjects.
I think it's so interesting that you're doing what somebody else might do if they were writing a paper on Shakespeare, is look at the fools in, or look at some of the other topics, or love in the comedies, love in the tragedies, and the fourth one, the fourth Sunday, is honor. And somebody who was writing a paper on Shakespeare might analyze all of these and use quotations, and here you are actually presenting it, which is much better.
Yes, I hope so. There is a danger of this kind of a program becoming an illustrated lecture. And so I've been very careful to try to boil down the narrative material that I present as the host of each program, sort of like Alistair Cook on the Masterpiece Theater. I've tried to boil it down so that it is pithy and direct and entertaining, but doesn't get in the way or doesn't take over from the actual scenes. And I have a terrific group of actors who are capable of delivering these scenes in a tremendously lively way, even though it is reader's theater. It is a reading without props and costumes and lighting effects, but the focus is on the language, and these people deliver the language beautifully. Jonathan Richards, Suzanne Lederer, Charles Gamble, Akushla Bastabil, Mario Cabrera, Nicholas Ballas, Victor Talmadge, Christy Carson, and I fear I might have left somebody out. But if I did,
but in
I
any
apologize.
Case, kind of an all-star Santa Fe all-star cast, really.
Yes, as it happens, from my years of teaching, and especially my years as dean at Cal Arts, there were three people here in Santa Fe who were ex-students of mine. Nicholas Ballas, who's co-owner of the Cowgirl and a very popular local actor. Steve Schwartz, who also goes under the name of Loose Reins as a movie actor, who runs the Widder Binner Foundation. And the Widder Binner Foundation is one of the nonprofit sponsors of this program, as is the Shakespeare Guild, which was founded by John Andrews, who lives here in Santa Fe also, and the Santa Fe University of Art and Design Performing Arts Department. So we have three sponsors for this program, thank goodness. Anyway, Nick and Steve and Victor Talmadge, who's on the faculty at SFUAD, were all students of mine, all graduate students. And as it happens, I have a long history with Santa Fe through some of my older students, because Martin Platt and Andrew Shea created the New Mexico Rep many years ago, which, and many people don't know this, we had a professional equity company here in Santa Fe for 10 years that they ran. Then Steve started the Shakespeare Santa Fe Shakespeare Festival, first in Agnes White Park, and then after about 6 years, they moved onto the St. John's College campus. So, in a sense, my ex-students are responsible for some of the more important theater history here in Santa Fe. So I'm happy to be contributing this, and I hope it'll become an annual event, because originally I was going to do 8 programs. And it turned out that each one was so difficult to write. It took months to write these scripts.
Yeah.
Because I had to survey all of the plays again. I mean, right. I know most of them, and I've directed a great many of them and acted in many. But a scene about honor, for instance, might appear in a play that otherwise doesn't have anything to do with honor. So you have to kind of search for these things and winnow it down until you get down to the, you know, to the really good stuff. And so I only am doing the 4 this year, but I have 4 more ready to go for next year, one on justice, one on politics, one on war. And I'm amazed as I work on these how relevant to our present situation Shakespeare's thought and specific writings are.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I wanted to, that was what came to mind. I mean, these are really human themes, fools, love, honor, justice, politics. What are some examples of things in Shakespeare that remind you of current political situations, for example, or current situations in the media?
Well, the current political scene with the trading of barbs between Obama and Romney and their surrogates reminds me that the battle of wits is a very strong tradition in Shakespeare. A lot of his comedic scenes, and even some of his tragic scenes, are written as battles of wit, where people are trading charges and countercharges and making rebuttals and so on. And the kind of elegance and specificity and charm with which Shakespeare carries these things off reminds me, kind of in a sad way, how prosaic and inelegant our political discourse is today.
Well, I wonder if in that time it wasn't equally inelegant. You just had a really good playwright.
Yes, I'm not one who would claim that, as some critics have in the past, that Shakespeare merely copied the speech of his time. Well, I don't think that Elizabethans went around spouting iambic pentameter. John Millington Synge, the great Irish playwright, once said that in Shakespeare's day, people had not shut their lips on poetry and all the straw had not been turned into bricks, as if Shakespeare was writing at a time when elegant language was the norm. Well, I don't necessarily believe that. I think it's Shakespeare's special genius. But if you look at the other playwrights, of his contemporaries, and the writing of politicians even in Elizabethan England, you do see the influence of rhetoric. The Elizabethans believed that, as an educational principle, that if you could speak well, it made you able to think well, that good speech was not simply an end unto itself, but really taught a person how to think as well as they spoke. And so rhetoric, the art of framing ideas in elegant and effective language, the use of various figures of speech like metaphor and simile and so on, heightened uses of rhythm and tonality, these were all taught to school children. Shakespeare himself was taught these things in what we would call primary school. And that has gone out of education in the Western tradition, sadly. I guess it died away in the finally in the 19th century. And we in our educational system are not doing much to keep elegant and effective language alive. And I believe that one of the missions of theater, a very important mission of theater, is to keep the act of speaking aloud in an elegant and effective and beautiful way, to keep it alive, because it is dead in our culture. Kids don't perform plays for their parents anymore the way the kids in Chekhov's The Seagull do. And speaking aloud has been replaced by texting and twittering. We really live in a surprisingly non-verbal, non-vocal time when the act of speech is no longer anywhere near an important means of communication.
And the act of writing, it has become so cheapened because you can basically write a blog and put it up, and it doesn't. There's no requirement of a certain level of craft.
Yeah, I think the Elizabethans were right that if you can speak well, you can think well, and I guess we would add you can probably write well. It's interesting that in the study of poetry, there's a thing called the vocal effect and the ocular effect. The fact that poetry began as a substitute for spoken speech. What was printed or written on a page was just a residue or a guide to the act of speaking those words aloud. And certainly great poetry and certainly great drama is written on the assumption that it will be spoken aloud. Even if you only read it silently, we know that all of the muscles involved in the act of speaking are actually at work on a very, you know, microscopic level. But all of the physical activity involved in speaking is alive even in the act of silent reading. So I'm a great believer of kids being made to speak aloud in school as much as possible. And our class sizes and our whole culture is very much against that. I worked once for the Department of Education and the National Endowment for the Humanities. Five of us were given the task of designing the drama curriculum for the Scottsdale Public Schools in Arizona, K through 12. And I argued that we should begin with the act of speaking aloud and have kids tell stories from their families and so on, and then to begin to write things and read them aloud. But to me, the physical act of speaking aloud was essential at an early age. Unfortunately, now kids don't get that because we're using computers and other devices more and more, which don't require speaking aloud. In a way, I guess you could argue that things like Sesame Street and Electric Company have done a little bit of a disservice in that they don't encourage speaking aloud. And they also have shortened the attention span of kids. I've heard teachers bemoan the fact that kids who grew up on Sesame Street and Electric Company tend to like to have everything in short soundbite things. They don't have very long attention spans.
Interesting.
It's the same thing that actors discover when they do a lot of film work. I remember my friend Jerry Friedman, a wonderful director, had come to L.A. to direct The Little Foxes with Carol O'Connor and Maureen Stapleton, and just an outstanding cast of seven or eight people. And he called me up one day in despair and said, these people have become so used to the short take in film and television work that to sustain a long scene and to sustain even a long speech is very, very difficult for them.
And these are amazing, virtuosic, trained actors.
Yes, who came out of the theater, but they lost the capacity to maintain a long line of thought. That's one of the reasons that in the British tradition, none of those actors really would consider leaving theater work completely, no matter how successful their film careers began.
Right.
Because they know that their discipline as actors is founded on the demands of the live stage. My friend Patrick Stewart had to make a very conscious choice some years back when he was done being Picard on Star Trek and being whoever it is he plays on the X-Men series, which he regards as his pension plans. He told me that he feared that he had begun to disappear from the consciousness of the British theater public and, more importantly, the British theater industry. And so he left Hollywood and went back to, in a sense, rebuild his theater career in England. And he's been enormously successful at doing it, too. His Macbeth last year was an incredible accomplishment. I'll be teaching a class at University of New Mexico, Los Alamos, next month on Shakespeare in production. And one of the films we're going to watch is Patrick Stewart's Macbeth, which is the best Macbeth I've ever seen. And it's the best because of his capacity to deliver the spoken text from a very deep emotional and personal place. And Shakespeare really comes to life when an actor is able to do that, because Shakespeare reaches into the actor's psyche, into the emotional life, into the psychology of the actor through his language, and can bring out the best in us if we let him.
Benny Benedetti is an Emmy Award-winning film producer. He was a longtime professor, educator, dean at Cal Arts and Yale, and a longtime actor and director of Shakespeare. And once again, Shake Scenes, Santa Fe Shake Scenes, will be happening on Sundays, starting on this Sunday, September 9th, and going the 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th at 4 in the afternoon at the Forum, which adjoins the library on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. For tickets, you can go to ticketsantafe.org or call 988-1234. And let's get you back in the future. We'd love to continue this conversation. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's been a joy.
And I would like now to welcome Diane Karp. She is the executive director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. She is with us many Fridays speaking of the arts.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Good morning.
Good morning, Santa Fe. Time to get up.
And Taos.
And Taos.
And Albuquerque.
And Albuquerque. And all
Rio
of those.
Rancho.
All of those
Los Alamos,
areas
Española,
in between. Yes, indeed.
The mountains, the valleys.
It's
Embudo.
Embudo. Embudo Station. One of my Dixon. One of my favorite areas
Dixon.
Of the world.
We're going to be talking to the people from the Dixon Animal Protection Society soon.
I know.
I love them.
One of the things that's sort of wonderful about living here is that all of these communities have their, and we, let us not forget Madrid, all of these communities have their own personality, their own style, and collectively we have more diversity and more exciting cultural activity than most people can experience in a lifetime, and we manage to get it into a weekend. So there's lots happening, and one of the things that I really want to talk about is tonight there's an opening at the New Mexico Museum of Art, a museum that has been phenomenally revitalized, and we are very grateful to all of the young creatives who have brought the New Mexico Museum of Art back to life.
And can we say the wonderful and fabulous Mary Kershaw?
Well, Mary is at the top of the list,
yes.
But it's Mary Scully and Laura Addison, and it's just an amazing crew, and I love going there, which is so exciting to be able to say publicly, go, you'll see interesting things. There's a lot that changes. So if you haven't been there for a while, check it out, because tonight is the opening of New World, Timeless Visions. It's works by members of the International Academy of Ceramics, and it is going to be ceramic objects, some utilitarian vessels, some sculptural objects from all over the world. And the International Academy of Ceramics is a group who have juried membership. So the people who are in the exhibition are mostly members. The work is quite beautiful. It should be a marvelous opening. It'll be up through September 23rd, which is a very short stretch of time. Again, that idea of things that are fresh and changing and new. So check it out. Go to the New Mexico Museum of Art tonight and see what's going on. The opening literally will start at 5 o'clock, but it's open from 10 to 5. All the way through September 23rd.
Excellent. Now, I've got some dogs and cats.
Oh, we love dogs and cats. But they're not allowed at the museum.
That's right. They're not allowed at the museum.
Don't
speaking
take your
the,
dog and
the
cat to
arts
museum.
Plus dogs and cats and there. Ferrets and bunnies. Okay. Buddy and Olivia are brother and sister mini schnauzers, and they're having their second birthday today. And they're very sweet and loving, and they're cuddly lap dogs and avid hikers. And they come complete with a set of grandparents who love them and like to take them hiking, also who are available to dog sit. Now, I think they come together. They're great family dogs. And if you want more information, call Maura at 467-8647. So that's one. That's the doggies, the mini schnauzers. They're so cute. And the cat of the week from Felines and Friends, this week's featured kitties, are also a pair, Boo and Susie. They're rescued from a very unhappy hoarding situation in Albuquerque. They were kept in a small puppy pen in a dark, stinky garbage garage for almost 3 years with very little human contact.
Hoarders' garages are often filled with garbage.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And as a result, they're still getting used to lights, sounds, and people. So it takes them some time to adjust to new situations. They may be shy in a new home at first, but they do warm up quickly and become friendly and sociable with their surroundings. They love to be petted and loved, and they like to chase little toys and things like that. But you, basically, they're looking for a patient, loving home. So if you are interested, and you better, it probably shouldn't have dogs.
Following on the cat theme.
But wait a minute. I have to give you the phone number.
Oh, yes.
505-316-2281. Or go to fnfnm.org. That's Felines and Friends, New Mexico.
We want everyone to just write that on a slip of paper somewhere near their kitchen.
That's right.
So that they always have it ready.
Yes.
But following the cat theme, a wonderful gallery on Canyon Road, Noise Cat on Canyon, has a really nice exhibition that opens tonight from 4 to 7. It's called Crow Medicine, and it's the works of Damien Charette, Cloud Medicine Crow, and Robert Gress, Medicine Tail. And it's definitely worth checking out. It's at 618 Canyon Road. I recommend it highly. Another interesting exhibition is called LIFE, Live It Fully Expressed. It's the photographs of Rick Allred. They're marvelous photographs with a little bit of manipulation. The reception is 4:30 to 7:30 at Silver Sun Gallery, also on Canyon Road. And that show will only be up through September 18th. So get over there and give it a little bit of attention.
The Santa Fe, Fiesta, the Santa Fe Men's Camarada featuring Tim Wilson is having a Fiesta concert. Fiesta, a global celebration, Saturday and Sunday, the 8th and 9th at 7:30 at Loretto Chapel. Mm-hmm. For more information, you can go to santafemenscamarada.com or call 473-7733.
And also tonight, there's a marvelous book talk, and it kind of relates to fiestas a little bit. It's Evanethius Speliotis, who's discussing Odysseus's journey to Hades in Homer's The Odyssey. She's talking about Book 10. It happens at 3:15 today at the Great Hall up at Peterson Student Center at St. John's College. And for those of you who have never been up there, it's a wonderful location up on Cruz Blanca. It is free. She's one of the St. John's scholars, and I know a couple of Johnnies that demonstrate the power of connecting to these old books and ideas that come from the ancients. And that idea of journeying into Hades kind of makes me feel like I connect to Fiesta in an odd way with de Vargas coming back into Santa Fe.
Que viva la fiesta.
Que viva la fiesta. And it's the final weekend, folks, for what the list missed, or the absolutely undeniably, certifiably true story of how New Mexico became a state. It's the annual Fiesta Melodrama.
Melodrama.
It's really sweet. And it's going to be performed 7:30 and 10 p.m. today, and it'll go through the weekend. So if you can get a ticket and you haven't seen it, and you either love or don't love fiestas, love or don't love zozobra, this is going to be something that will bring you into the circle by amusement and history and charm.
Yeah, if there's anybody who's listening who's just moved here or who doesn't know Santa Fe or New Mexico very well, go to the Melodrama. You'll learn you'll learn a lot.
And there's selected bits of information that comes together in a very, very entertaining evening.
Can we talk about the pet parade?
We have to talk about the pet parade. It's one of my favorite things that Santa Fe does. It's the best part of fiestas as far as I'm concerned.
Desfile de los Niños.
Sí.
Starts tomorrow morning at about 10 o'clock. And children, parents, and animals, cats, dogs, llamas, snakes, ferrets, bunnies.
Chickens, parrots.
Yes.
Anything that you have as your pet. And sometimes I think the children are dressed up and trucked out because they're kind of pets. There's a wonderful cartoon that I saw in Europe of two ladies with their little dog sitting in an English park, which is reserved for dogs. And one is saying to the other as she looked out to the street with the kids playing ball, children, they're for people who can't have pets.
Oh. Well, so that's happening. That's happening tomorrow, and they circle the plaza and walk along downtown streets And it's good to go early if you want to actually see.
But it's delightful. And for those people who are going to be out late tonight, stay up and watch them before you go back to sleep.
Pull an all-nighter.
Pull an all-nighter. It's definitely worth it.
Hey, I'm going to make this request. I make this about once a year. Can some more restaurants stay open after 9 o'clock? Can you keep your kitchens open till 11 or even 12? Once again,
That's an interesting concept.
I went to the theater the other night. I went to the Lenzig. There was an event that started at 8, and we got out and tried to find some place to eat and ended up going to Smith's Supermarket, buying some stuff and going home because there was nothing.
Well, there isn't nothing. And, in fact, there are lots of places that
stay
open late.
There's not lots of places.
Well, there are. There's the wonderful front part of Ristra, which is the Ristra Bar. Harry's stays open. Zia Diner stays open. There are a group of places.
Zia Diner stays open to midnight?
Not till midnight, but they serve after 9.
Okay.
And so I think it's
After 10 and 11 is what we're talking about.
Okay, but that's not what... Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Because you get out of this thing at like 9:30, quarter 10, and you're
looking
for some place.
By the time you get there.
Yeah.
All right. I stand corrected. Please forgive me.
Sunday afternoon, historical parade. We're going back to Fiesta. That was just my little editorial comment. Because I'll tell you what, if a restaurant decided they were going to have, it's not even late night, it's normal for any other city in the world, but if they were going to have a later night kitchen open situation, they would make a lot of money.
Well, that's a promise we can't make, but we certainly would hope so. I'm going to take you back, and I want to mention to everybody that Pasa Tiempo has done a marvelous job with creating a calendar of all the Fiesta's events that's on page 57 of this Pasa.
Good.
So you've got it all, and I recommend you take in as much as you can take. Something that's happening tonight, however, that's very interesting, and we're going to talk a lot about collaborations. Site Santa Fe created last March their first iteration of something called Spread. And it's an event that happens, it's a style of event that happens around the country to help support artists because it's hard to fund projects. And so they decided to create this micro support, micro financing event called Spread. And they jury submissions from artists and creative people that bring their ideas, and then they have a big dinner, and you can pay a scale and attend the dinner, and each of the presenters gets a few minutes to talk about their project, and then there's a vote, and whoever wins the vote takes away the whole sort of pool of money that people have paid in to go. And there's a wonderful collaboration between Pasa Tiempo and Site. What you have is, for the first time, Pasa has published a little piece on each of these artists or artist groups. And it's a brilliant exploration of some of the fabulous projects that are being built and forwarded by artists in our community.
Yeah.
And in many ways, I think the Pasa piece is as important as Site's, although Site organizes it and does all the heavy lifting of pulling it together. I recommend that you read the Pasa pages, have a feel for the breadth and scope of these very important projects. And even if you don't go to Spread, even if you don't like the sort of competition aspect of it, you can make some contributions directly to these artists and organizations. So
it
happens tonight at 7, and it's at the Farmers Market, another collaborative piece. The Farmers Market is part of this.
Giraffe Dogs and Brad Parsons Band on Tour. Giraffe Dodgers. And Giraffe Dodgers are Forrest Carter, Ben Larson, and Austin Moore, and Rowan Cobb. And the Brad Parsons Band are all of the above, except for Austin, plus Brad Parson singer and Danny Lee on guitar. And so this is happening tonight at the Second Street Brewery.
Yep.
And I got this from the fabulous Judy Goldberg.
Thank you, Judy Goldberg.
TheGiraffeDodgers.com.
Okay, Saturday. Saturday, there's going to be a rather wonderful exploration that is the result of a deep collaboration. It's called A Bodies of Water. Saturday and Sunday, there's going to be a movement workshop led by Indigenous dancer and choreographer Rulon Tongan. And there's been a collaborative partnership between Rulon and the Santa Fe Art Institute for 11 years. And now we've broadened the partnership. The Santa Fe University of Art and Design is part of it. IAIA is part of it. Lensic is part of it. And working with Rulon and her dancers, costume makers, set designers, choreographers, all of whom are part of an intertribal indigenous dance group that does both contemporary and traditional dance.
They're
and
amazing.
They are amazing. So,
and they're going to be the Lensic, too.
They have been in residence. The dancers have been in residence at the Santa Fe Art Institute for the month. They've been working every day diligently in space that's been donated by the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon from 4 to 7, you can go and participate in this very inexpensive dance movement workshop that will culminate in a public performance on Sunday afternoon. So anyone who's interested in contemporary dance, who wants to meet new people, this is a remarkable way to explore it. And then at the end of September, Rulon and Dancing Earth, the troupe, are going to be performing on a Friday night, the 28th, and Saturday, the 29th, at the Lensic. So this is a great example of how Santa Fe builds these deep, durable relationships.
On Sunday, September 9th, Pamela Window reads from Zora's Ladder, and that's at Opsit Books at 2 in the afternoon, and you can go to opsit.com, O-P-C-I-T.com, or call 428-0321. And she will read stories from her book and take questions about aspects of Islam and daily life in Marrakesh, where I guess she was living for a period of time. And Opsit Books is a wonderful place. Have you been over there?
I have, and it's such a wonderful, inclusive bookstore that is another one of Santa Fe's gems. It's an independent bookstore. And for those of you who buy books online from Amazon, please, one of the great benefits of living in Santa Fe is our independent bookstores. We need to support them.
Yeah, get your new books and get what you can at your independent bookstores.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you need something that was published in 1950 and there's only four copies of it left, all right, order it.
All right, exactly. Okay, so Sunday. Sunday, as you all now know, having listened to the last half hour, is A Fool to Make Me Merry, the Santa Fe Shake Scenes, and that's going to be performed at the Forum, the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, and it'll be this Sunday. I'm not sure what time it is.
I think it's 4 in the afternoon.
Okay, 4 in the afternoon. Thank you very much. And it will be a series of Sundays at 4 in the afternoon at the Forum. You all now know all about that.
So yes, because we heard about it in the first half of the show.
So the other thing that's going on is Monday. Let's move on. Monday night, Rulon Tongan, the dancer and choreographer, is going to talk about her work, her life in building these collaborative projects, working with traditional and contemporary indigenous dance. And she's going to be giving a talk at 6 p.m., Tipton Hall, and that again is a collaboration between the Santa Fe University of Art and Design and the Santa Fe Art Institute.
Yay.
Well worth attending.
In my utterly non-chronological life, see, she's, okay, Diane's looking at the Pasatiempo, which goes in order.
Why would anyone?
And I'm looking at my email, which is deeply, deeply random.
Which so, probably explains that your brain is more chronological and my brain is scattered.
Oh no.
So we compensate.
So there's a wine and food tasting hosted by the Museum of International Folk Art on Wednesday, the 12th of September from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Museum Hill Cafe. And eat and drink and enjoy new world wines, foods, and chocolates with an old world heritage. And there's an exhibition on New World food that's going to be, New World cuisine, that's going to be opening in December. And so they're doing all sorts of things to get ready for that. It's going to be the history of chocolate and things like that. But right now you can go to a wine and food tasting. Yum.
Yum. So we're moving on to Tuesday. Tuesday night, Site Santa Fe is bringing one of their artists that's in the exhibition, More Real. His name is John Gerard. And his work explores the strange and sometimes disturbing relationships between the video game sensibility and real-time war. So it should be an interesting artist talk. It's at 7 p.m., I think, at Site Santa Fe on Tuesday night. And the other thing that's going on is there's a presentation by historical interpreter Manuel Lopez from 3 to 4 on Tuesday at the School for Advanced Research, another gem and resource that Santa Fe often doesn't take full advantage of. But the scholars at SAR, the School for Advanced Research, are marvelous. It's up at 660 Garcia Street. And if you haven't been there, there's a really wonderful article in PASA about the campus of SAR. So you could go informed.
Now, I'm going to read a couple of listings right here because I'm not going to be here a week from today. So I want people to know about some things that are happening the next week.
Cool.
So on Saturday, September 15th from 8 to 5, there's the annual Santa Fe High School Choir Really Big Benefit Rummage Sale. And that is at the Super Walmart on Herrera Drive, 795-2915. Editorial groans from Diane Carr. And then on September 19th, the Santa Fe Opera Guild presents The Lowdown on the Bass Voice at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation, 5:30 September 19th, featuring Leroy Lair, former Metropolitan Opera bass vocalist. And we have...
I have one for out there on the 22nd of September, which is a Saturday, another collaboration of the Art Institute, IAIA, and the Isaiah Conference.
We'll be back by then.
Oh, we will?
Yes.
Okay.
You can still read it, but okay. We'll be back by then.
Terry Reeb is opening an exhibition called No Place with Names. That's a collaborative between IAIA and SFAI. It's an acoustic archaeology with sound artist Terry Reeb, ceramicist Larry Fan, and native artist Carmelita Topaja.
Landscaping for Climate Change is a class taught by Tracy Neal on Saturday, September 15th from 9 to noon at the Santa Fe Community College main campus. For more information, 428-1270. And then the following weekend, there's another one called Plants for Santa Fe, also taught by Tracy Neal, who is a wonderful master gardener. And 428-1270 to sign up or sfcc.edu.
Okay. Can I go back to this week?
Yes.
Okay. The 12th, Wednesday, we have a brilliant presentation. It's going to be a lecture that is presented and supported by the Lannan Foundation Cultural Freedom sector. And it's Michelle Alexander, who's a lawyer. She was the director of the Social Justice Organization in D.C. She was the head of the Racial Justice Project for the American Civil Liberties Union, and she was out in Northern California. She's now a professor, but she's written a new book called The New Jim Crow: Mass Incarceration in the Age of Color Blindness. The Lannan Foundation brings some of the most outstanding thinkers and writers and creative people to Santa Fe, and she's going to be speaking at the Lensic at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. She's really talking about what has happened in our country with racial injustice around the Justice Department and the whole judicial system and incarceration.
Very important.
Very, very important. Everybody needs to go and hear it, buy the book, and expand your horizons. The other thing, however, that's happening on Wednesday is Reading Ancient Minds, Metaphor, Culture, and History Making. It's a lecture, and I don't know why this happens, a lecture by Scott Ortman, who is part of the Santa Fe Institute's community lecture series. Why they go up against Lannan makes me crazy. So it's the question of the evening, but if you can't get to the Lannan Foundation at 7:30, you can head over to the James A. Little Theater.
And I'm going to have Scott on Monday
on the show. I know that, which is why that was sort of all I was going to talk about.
Okay.
On Thursday, there's a really important talk. It's estate planning for artists, photographers, and other creative people. Another collaboration that it goes on between the George O'Keefe Museum and New Mexico Lawyers for the Arts.
Nice.
This lecture will be led by Kate Fitzgibbon. It's at 6 p.m. at the George O'Keefe Museum Annex, which is over there off of the parking lot where the Dennis Yaris Gallery is. And I recommend it. So many artists create these huge bodies of work without really thinking about what's going to happen after they pass on into the next world, and they leave this vast collection of all of the work they've made all their lives.
Which
you can't take with you, and the disposition ends up being very problematic for the families who inherit it. So if you are an artist or a photographer or other creative people, and this is a concern for you, please go over and listen in to the talk. It is free.
You know how you say you can't take it with you in German?
No.
Your last shirt has no pockets.
Well, I that's interesting. And, you know, growing up in my family, we always said, that's life in the big city. And on my first trip to Europe, I tried to translate that into German for someone thinking it was a universal aphorism. And they looked at me like I was crazy. Uh-huh. And the translation of the German version is, equal goes it loose.
All right, then. Saying Yes, an evening of sacred music and sacred poetry with Tim McLaughlin and Madi Sato. They are a husband and wife team. They'll be doing this on Saturday, a week from tomorrow, at the Center for Spiritual Living on Camino de los Marques. And they are wonderful people, human beings, poet, singer, and Tim leads the American Indian School, the Indian School poetry team.
Yes, and they
does
are
an amazing job.
And fantastic.
And he's an equally good poet.
We talked about that that film that they made about the another thing that's going on Monday that I missed, and I apologize. The British soul rock band The Heavy is performing at 7:30. It's a silent comedy that opens the Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill. And that's another sort of wonderful aspect of Santa Fe's offerings. We get these amazing bands that come through.
And the KSFR's Music Cafe series continues. And on Friday, September 14th at 7 o'clock at the Museum Hill Cafe, we're going to have a quartet, Allie Ryerson flute, Brian Bennett piano, Ali Zandrozny on bass, and John Trent Acosta on drums. And for more information, 428-1527 or Museum Hill Cafe, 984-8900. And that should be great fun.
Oh, of course. Another thing that I just want to reiterate is one of the Santa Fe gems is we have the Museum of Contemporary Native Art. And it's the only museum in the country dedicated to contemporary Native arts. They have a group of exhibitions up now that are totally brilliant. And they went up around Indian Market. There are no openings tonight, but you need to get yourself over to the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts and take a look. I think there are 6 or 7 different exhibitions about different subjects, and I again want to take my hat off to Ryan Rice and Patsy Phillips.
Did you mention the Marion Center for Photographic Arts is presenting Origins? That's on Monday, September. I don't think you did.
No, I didn't.
Monday, September 10th at 4:30, and the exhibition goes through December 7th, and that is the Atrium Gallery and the Alumni Gallery at the Marion Center for Photographic Arts on the Santa Fe University Art and Design Campus. And I don't know what number to call for more information, but you can probably figure it out by Googling Marion Center for Photographic Arts.
Yes.
And it's almost time to go.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there is much to do.
Much to do.
There is important people to listen to.
There's one more. Mm-hmm. Lyme disease awareness benefit with cellist Michael Cott and poet Rosé and speaker Dr. Russell Canfield and many more. And that's on Friday, September 14th from 5 to 11 at the Inn and Spa at Loretto. For more information, 820-2653.
And to that, though Lyme disease is not very common here in New Mexico, everyone should be very careful about the Hatha virus, because it is sort of moving through New Mexico. We have already had 3 deaths.
Good heavens.
If you're going out camping, do yourself a favor and make sure you have lots of anti-bug
repellent,
any bug stuff with you, whatever it is that you're going to use. And it's not a bad idea to call the health department and double check.
Yep. West Nile virus also.
West Nile virus is spreading as well. And one of the things that my son-in-law, who is a a cardiologist always used to say is you've got to watch nature because it's always trying to kill you.
Diane Karp, on that note, is with the Santa Fe Art Institute.
Terrible note to leave
and,
on.
And don't forget to pick up the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, and you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Wonderful, happy fiestas to all of you. Adios.
Adios.